Okay, so yeah, this morning, damn. Today was hectic, hey? So it just did not stop the whole time, which is crazy. Like this morning, standard wake up, you know, got started with the kids, and you know, before school drop off and everything else, I said to Beck, I was like, you know, now that I'm eating, I want to start moving. So I went for a run. Beck was like, listen, I need you home before a school drop off. I was like, yeah, sweet. So went for a run, and I had to be home before 8 o'clock. So obviously, yeah, I got your brekkie done and all that sort of thing. And so yeah, went for a half hour run. And that was, man, it felt good. Hey, it's the best way. Exercise is the best way to start the day. So so that was really good. Got that humming, and yeah, it came home, obviously, you know, helped out with the kids, had a shower, all that sort of thing, weighed myself, and still lost weight, which is really wicked after an absolute monster meat feast last night. And so that was really cool. I think, like, I was like, oh, you know, I'm gonna lose all this like water weight and whatever, and you know, and then yeah, and then it's just kind of like just gonna pout, you know, jump straight back on. But no, we're still going down, so that's really cool. So I'm sub 103 now, which is really awesome. It was like 102.8 or something. So just over a week down. When to start, like 108 ish. Yeah, so down 5 kilo, 6 kilo more. Doesn't sound right. Anyway. So yes, that's cool. So yeah, then I just spent the entire morning just like phone call, a lot of stuff that, you know, just kind of got me by surprise. And soon enough, it was time for the vasectomy. So yeah, so shot down to the doctor's, waited there for a bit, and it wasn't. You know, one thing I find really surprising, the amount of people I've spoken to that, you know, they say, yeah, I'm, you know, we're done having kids and everything else, and they haven't got the snip. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, I know, this is so sad. I know one mate of ours, she was telling us her partner's like, and I don't agree with this at all, hey. Her partner was saying how he's like, well, you know what, if something happens to her, and, you know, and he wants to have kids with another woman, or if they split and whatever. And I'm like, oi, dude, that's hectic. So, yeah, I don't know, each to their own, but yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty gnarly. So yeah, so, even the amount of women that I talk to, and, it's saying, like, oh, yeah, no, tell my husband to go get the snip. And I was like, what? Like, I thought he would have done it years ago. Or they've been, like, you know, running the gauntlet and that. And, yeah, so anyway, so when I was given the option, they said, oh, do you want to go under local or under GA? I was like, no, just do local. I said, I was like, what's better? And she's like, well, if you do local, we have to be more gentle because you're awake. I was like, okay, sure. So first one was really good because, obviously, there's for those who are familiar, you've got two tubes that actually feed the semen, and you have to cut them both, right? And what they do is they take about a 2 centimeter, yeah, so like a 2 centimeter length out, and they tie off the end that goes up to your schlong, I guess. Don't really know what the right word is, and they just let the other one just kind of hang loose inside your sack, right? And so for the rest of my life, I'm going to be continually producing sperm, and it's just going to, like, go into my ball sack and die. So it's crazy, dude. Yeah, so that was crazy. I was like, yo, what the fuck? And she was saying that, you know, you've got a small window if you're going to get a reversal. You've got a small window to get it done. One, because of the scarring on the end of the, what do they call it? Whatever, let's call it the baby line. So they need to be able to reconnect it and stuff, right? So firstly, secondly, is that your body ends up building antibodies against the sperm to fight it, because it's like a foreign material, right? So after a while, your body will actually consider your sperm to be like a foreign invader and kill it off. So if you're going to get a reversal done, like firstly you better be sure, but you've got about 2 years before that's it permanently, like you are proper sterile. And so it's pretty like it's pretty wild. And it's very interesting, hey, because I'm like this is it. Game over, proper game over. And it is pretty daunting. But at the same time, and this is our bigger thing, is that I don't like the idea of Beck being on the pill or having the bar or something like that. And she's been really against it right from that at the start of our relationship. And to her credit, she, you know, she stood her ground and I remember we were in Melbourne and I mean, everybody knows that sex is better without any rubbers she was just like, listen, I'm not willing to do it. So, you know, in hindsight, sure, like it would have been better without, but in hindsight, I'm certainly glad that she didn't go on the pill, and that we made the compromises there to make sure that her body, stayed, I guess, well, I want to say like balanced. I don't really know if that's the right word, but you know, there's plenty of studies coming out about the negative effect of the pill or, you know, the bar and just how like long-term it's just not good. Hey, so yeah. So, and you know, obviously post kids, well, we're done. And so I'm, you know, it's one of those things I'm like, yeah, I'm happy to wear one for the team. Like, I don't think it, you know, the contraceptive responsibility should be permanently, on the woman. And it is obviously in this case on Beck. So, yeah, so it's one of those things I was like, well, you know, I'm going to hurt for a few days and then we're good forever. Although, this is the crazy part, is a 1 in 2,000 chance that I can still, like, get her knocked up. And I was like, those are high. Like, those, you know, and I sent it to the doctor and she was like, no, not really. I was like, okay. She was like, yeah, you like the, I can't remember what the other one was, but. Yeah, she was saying pretty much how like, it's the best form of contraception you can get. I was like, all right, okay, cool. Learn something new every day. But yeah, whatever. Anyway, so I went at like 11. I didn't get out till bloody like 2 o'clock because I went there and I said to her, I was like, hey, listen, while I'm here, can I get my bloods done? Here's what I want to do. She was like, yeah, no dramas. So I came out and the chick was on lunch and there was like 15 minutes left. So it was like, you know, 1:15. I was like, yep, no dramas. The rest of the story around the vasectomy. So, the first one was all good. No dramas at all. The second one, cause you know, they cut the two lines. The second line, it was, man, that hurt like a bitch. I thought that, you know, so she put a bit of local in and she started kind of going out. I could feel a bit of tugging and that, which is going to be a thing. Like, obviously, it's not going to, you know, but man, so she grabbed this like connective tissue that she thought was the line. And she was like, oh, I'm just not quite sure. Like, it doesn't quite look like it. And then she was like, hey, I'm just going to grab this bit. Boom. Instantly, I was like, yep, that's it. You got it. And I could feel it like right up in my gut, hey. And like on the side, almost near where like, listen, I don't know anatomy. I'm going to say like near where my liver is, like almost like here. And so, yeah, so she pulls it out and snips it and all this sort of thing. And it just, man, the pain just built and built. I was just like, oh, listen. I was like, listen, I need some more. And so she was like, oh, you should have said, like, you know, like, she's like, you're doing really good. I was really impressed with how well you were doing given the amount of local. I was like, what? Load me up, man. Like, I don't need any pain. Just bang, bang. So she chucked a heap of local in and you know, and fully just, you know, sent, chucked local in the tube, both down and up the tube. And I was like, oh, cheers. So that was an absolute lifesaver. Yeah, within probably like 5 or 6 seconds, it came good. And so she finished that one off. But and I mean, that was pretty much it. It was really straightforward. Yeah. yeah, that's the end of the story. Anyway, yeah, so I went out and I waited. The chick doing the bloods. I don't realize you need to get like a ticket and wait because, yeah, so there was someone already waiting before me. No worries, jump in. I had a meeting at 2 o'clock. I was like, I was getting pretty close. And then she just kept taking forever. So I just stood there on the buzzer and I like buzzed, waited. Oh, this is after. So I wasn't interrupting the other person's appointment. So that person finished and then the door was closed probably 10 minutes. And I'm like, dude, listen, I get it. You need to do paperwork and shit. I have to go. So I kept like hitting the buzzer and she came out. I was like, hey, listen, I'm really sorry. I've got a meeting at 2 o'clock. It's like 5:02. All I need to do is bloods. Can you just get them done for me? She was like, yeah, sure. Went in there and she saw the, like, I needed to do a semen sample in like 8 weeks and 12 weeks. And she's like, oh, you know, I had tried to run me through. I was like, girl, like just, let's just do the bloods. So did the bloods and everything else. And that was good. And then that'll go to the naturopath and, we'll obviously doctor first and then naturopath as well. And we'll start having a look at some bloods, which is going to be pretty cool. Just kind of see where what's doing well, what's not doing well, and then kind of adjust diet and food and movement and all that sort of thing accordingly, which is going to be fun. Yeah, so getting the microbiome test sorted with her as well. So I was speaking with her, and she's going to get that happening. Yeah, and then straight after that, I went home because I was expecting to be able to. A friend of ours is moving premises and wanted to know our opinion on another location of theirs. And it was a location that I'm pretty familiar with. So I said to him, I was like, okay, like, let's talk. So just kind of unpack that a little bit with him. And ultimately the question came around to like, well, what do you hope to gain and what are you going to lose? You're definitely going to lose some customers, but are you going to gain more by being there? And it was good to kind of unpack that with him. Yeah, and I mean, who knows? Ultimately, it's a risk. Everything, every decision's a risk. It's just you got to weigh it, really. Some decisions have no risk and others have plenty. So, yeah, and that was kind of like, as shit as it was, you know, kind of just gave them some food for thought. And then, yeah, ultimately, it's their decision what they want to do with that. And there was another business we were looking at that's, either, well, technically it's on the market, it's just not publicly on the market. And yeah, I had a really good conversation with the lady about that, and she, you know, if we didn't have what we have coming up at the moment and if our kids were a bit older, I would probably buy it. It's a bloody good business, really, really good. And the figures are tidy. You know, she's got a great team, figures are really tidy, and I was just like, listen. I was like, I've got a tendency to bite off a bit more than I can chew, and I know that now. But I don't want to, you know, I've got people who I've you know, promised certain outcomes to with propaganda, and I need to follow through on that first. That's my first commitment. And then, you know, obviously any new business is going to require a lot of hands-on work until, you know, and who knows how long that'll take, who knows. So that's where I was like, listen, ultimately, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pass on it for now. But you know what, probably 8 or 9 months time, if it's still on the market, I would probably be in a position where I would be able to give it the attention that it's due. So yeah, who knows. But I will be shocked if it's still on the market by then because it's a bloody good business. So, yeah. So anyway, then I came home, got dinner underway with the kids and our kids, goddamn, make them all this beautiful food and stuff. Like even like a perfect lamb roast, like all these like exotic sausages and that sort of thing. And they just like, it was only the pork sausage that got eaten. Like, the Vegemite and cheese sausage, goddamn. And still, I was like, eh, whatever. So, yeah, anyway, that was a thing. Yeah. Yes, anyway. Oh, that's right, yeah. But they ate, like, 2 bowls of rice each, which is hilarious. Yeah, so that's cool. Oh, yeah, we had Mitch and Kristen, mates of ours, came around. We're going through this podcast called BAMER. And obviously, I've got a lot of interest and around like Christianity and the Bible and what that. And I'd say for the most part, obviously because of my upbringing, it's something that's pretty big part of my life. And what I've found with BAMA is that they really kind of take the entire. It's not just about like, you know, just that. What the scripture says, but you know that they look at it in context of the culture, the just everything. Like that, they look at everything, and it's a really interesting perspective. And the guy, I just love it. Hey, like the guy who's teaching is constantly learning, and you hear even on the podcast where he's like, you know, he'll ask someone a question. And then they'll be like, oh, what about this? He's like, oh, damn, like I never even thought of that. And so like even from his perspective, you know, like they're constantly breaking it down and there's always more learning. And it's really cool and really holistic, hey? Like there's yet to be someone that I've recommended it to who hasn't got a lot of value out of it. So BEMA, B-E-M-A, and the guy's name is Marty Solomon. So we've kind of just been working through that and pulling that apart, and it's been really valuable. So, yeah, so that was really cool. Just kind of catching up on all that. And I kind of had this realization as well that I've been using the podcast to reflect my days, which is fantastic and everything else, but I'm not really using it as a means of measurement and a way to adjust the actions, like my next day's actions. So, yeah. So what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to have like a score card, and I'm going to continue to move closer. So one of them will be like, okay, what about screen time? I want to reduce my screen time. And I would like to get down to a point where I've got like, say, maybe like 15 minutes a day of just, you know, social screen time, but all the rest is intentional screen time. And my thing is, if I'm not doing that, then I have to be doing something else. And that something else I have no shortage of. There's plenty of things to learn. There is plenty of time to spend with the kids. There's all these sorts of things. Like there is no shortage of ways to spend my time that is useful and meaningful. So that would be one. One would be like, you know, did I stay within my calories for the day? You know, being conscious of how I'm eating and what I'm consuming. Another one might be, you know, training and exercising, although that'll probably be about a week away. And we're headed to Perth for a hospitality workshop next week. So probably just start doing like a little bit of cardio. I'll just go running, get that cardio fitness going. Yeah, and then do I've got a month of F45 lined up, courtesy of Emma and Lars. Thank you very much. So it's cool to, it's been really cool to see people kind of back us on this journey. You know, but then after that, that's just kind of like just to get in the habit of being fit again and moving and getting some strength back. And very cool as well. Beck's going to join us. So what I'm going to go for the first class early in the morning. I'll come back and then Beck will give Sterling a feed and go for the next class. So that's going to be exciting. It's really cool that that's something we're doing together. And so that's a thing. And then I'll probably start quantifying that. Like, I would like to start training in the mornings and then do a training with, you know, so I'll go to the gym with this friend of ours after that. And then I'll, so his name's Sean. Legend. I love the guy. Him and his missus are great. And go start training with him early mornings. But then as well, I was saying to Beck, like, I really want to make fitness and health very visible for our kids and make it normal. So, you know, I welded up like a squat rack out the back and I got some chains and some bars, so it's got variable load. And And, you know, you can do all your primary movements, you know, your squats, bench, overhead press, curls, things like that. So all your primary movements you can do with what we've got. And so we'll just do like the basic stuff. And, you know, so train in the morning and then just do like a light session in the afternoon so that the kids are involved and kind of normalize that as well and just keep the needle moving forward. So that's, I guess that's the plan when we kind of start moving toward weightlifting and what have you. So yeah, so that's fun. What else? So I'd say like attention, you know, I really want to have things that are quantifiable. Hey, so screen time down, I could probably just put in like, you know, book, reading a book, chapters and stuff. Yeah, something I could do. Yeah, anyway, have a scorecard, and then every day I want to be moving that scorecard higher and higher. And yeah, so that feels cool. Yeah. Anyway, I'll let you know tomorrow what I come up with for a quantifiable scorecard on my consistency and discipline with what I, in alignment with my, what I say my values are. Love, bye.